Okay, first thing we're going to do Daf Yomi is very short. First little very small point which I found to be very interesting is Al Tiftach Peh L'Satan. You're not allowed to open up your mouth to something. More talks about Tzidik HaDin, that when, let's say, everyone is sitting around and they're waiting for them to bring the mace. They're waiting. The mace is being is not present. The mace is on the way. And everyone is sitting around in the chapel waiting, and it's Zman Kriya Shema, Zman Tefillah. So it says in the Gemara that the people that are there should say Kriya Shema, and they should daven. And the Avelim, they're in a state of aninus, so they are not allowed to daven. They're not allowed to say Kriya Shema. They do nothing. But the Gemara says even when everyone else is davening, the Oilim should say Tzidduk HaDin. So then the Gemara tells what's the Nusach of Tzidduk HaDin. So the Gemara is a very scary expression that I burn in Shloilam. You haven't even punished me even one thousandth of what I deserved. I deserve to be punished 1,000 times more than what you've given me. The Gemara then goes on to say that's not a good idea. A person should not say that. A person should not say that. You shouldn't open up your mouth with Satan. It's not the right thing, because you shouldn't say that Hashem, you should pay me, you should punish me. Give me another 1,000 times more punishment, because you only gave me one of thousands of what I deserve. And then there was a pasuk, Kimak, it's Timurinu, because I saw a whole sefer discuss all the different examples of Alf Tivtach Pelith, and there's one thing which kind of caught my attention, Yizkar. It's Mina Yisrael. That when they say Yiskar, anyone that has parents, anyone that's not saying Yiskar should leave. Should leave the Beis HaKnesses. It's a strange minute. Why? What's the big deal? Why shouldn't the children, why shouldn't so people say Yiskar? So people are not saying Yiskar, so let them stay. They won't say Yiskar, so they'll hear the adults saying Yiskar. They'll remember their grandparents, their great-grandparents, and so on and so forth. What's the big deal of leaving the Beis HaKnesses when people are saying Yiskar? So one of the reasons given is Al Tiftach Piv L'Satan. What's it? Because if you say Baruch Hashem, we tell Arich Hasyan, people tell live Baruch Hashem the long lives. But years ago, it was very, very common that children, I mean, still is, are named after grandparents. And the grandparents are named were named after their grandparents. I'm really getting confused. So basically, but what? Right. Well, by Sfarim it's even worse then, because I'll explain to you why. Because it was very common. The person is a child. Let's say their child is named was Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avraham is saying Yitzchak. Who is Avraham saying Yitzchak for? Saying this for his father. And what's his father's name?
Yitzchak.
And who was his grandfather? Avraham. It was very common, it appears, that when the father would say Yitzchak, the father's name was Avraham. He was saying Yitzchak for his father. And his father's name was Yitzchak. And his grandfather's name was Avraham. So he was saying Yitzchak for Avraham ben, for Yitzchak ben Avraham. Happens to me that his son is also Yitzchak ben Avraham.
He's alive.
And he's alive, a little kid. He's a little kid. So here the father is saying, Yitzchak is Nishmas Yitzchak ben Avraham. He's referring to his father. And his son, his little five-year-old, is sitting right there, and his little five-year-old, his name is also Yitzchak ben Avraham. And in the earlier years, unfortunately, this was very common because people didn't live very long. The life expectancy was much shorter. And mainly you had those situations where you didn't have, like today, Baruch Hashem, then you have a little bit more of a gap. There's a little bit more of a generation gap, so it's not as common, but it was very, very common. So you'll have in the Beis HaKnesses, you'll have maybe 25, let's say, a shul, or let's say, I don't know, 50 people, 50 families. You could have in the shul 30 families, 30, 20, I don't know, a significant amount, a third of the parents have children, and the children have the exact same name as whom the parents are saying Yiskor for. Al Tiftach Piv L'Satan. So it's like you're saying, Hashem should remember the neshama of your own children. But the children are alive. They're not dead. What are you saying? So it's Tiftach Piv, therefore became the Minuk, an incredible insight. I don't think the average person thinks of it, thinks that's the reason why the average person thinks what everyone leaves is because it's too scary. I don't know. I mean, we're brainwashed in a certain way of thing. It's because maybe the parents, they cry and they scream and there's tremendous grief and torment. There's like this big mystery. Like when I was a child, I say Yiska now for my father. When I was a child, I used to hear them say Yiska. Like when I was a very little child. When I got older, it wasn't like that anymore. But when I was like very, very little, the first time I heard this thing, they're saying Yiska. Everyone has to leave, all the children. What are they doing?
Spooky.
It was a spooky thing. Uh-huh. I would know when you're a 6-7 year old kid, it's a spooky thing. What's going on in there? Oh, they're saying Yiska for people who died. What are they doing? They're crying, they're this, they're that. I remember once I came back and I saw a woman. I used to go out. I came back and I saw a woman. I saw the tears all the way down her cheeks. When I came back into shul afterwards, it's a scary thing. Okay. And then you get older, then you realize, they're not crying. When you get older, you realize. And then, unfortunately, when you're there, it's not a big deal. What?
It's only one trouble. Yeah. Jumped if you can't cry.
Right, so you're not supposed to call. Okay, so, all right, whatever it is. But that's, I think, the reason why the average person is under the impression why you leave the children, the people who are not, they leave because give the people who are in mourning their privacy, their space, their moment. There's another it's a brilliant reason. It comes right out of the Gemara, Daf Yutes. Al Tiftach Piv. You ever hear this before?
No.
Al Tiftach Piv. Does it make sense to you?
Yeah.
Al Tiftach Piv L'Sof, and it's a whole new insight. Opens up the Gemara over here on Daf Yotes. Okay, let's go for it. I'll give you another idea. Okay, this is a Lamesh. This is a Lamesh. Now it goes more Lamesh.
And also, it says that Sedom Ayinu.
Yeah, that's the Gemara. That's where it comes from. That's where it comes. Yeah. That's where it comes from. We said that. Okay, let's go on to going one. This is the more of a Lamesh of art. There's much discussion, but I wanted to bring out the Rashi Prakim. The Gemara goes through a discussion of. I'll read you the words of the Gemara. The Gemara talks about. A person is on the way to bring a carbon Pesach and to do a bris milah. These are two mitzvahs to which there is a chiyuv kares. And if a person does not bring do a bris milah, a person a person does not have a bris milah, is chayv kares. If a person does not bring carbon Pesach, is chayv kares. These are the only two chayv kares which are taken away through the fulfillment of an asay.
But it's only. The child, if he doesn't do bris milah on
himself, correct.
The father won't get cursed.
If the child will ultimately do bris milah on himself, but the father hasn't, but then it could be that the child himself will have a chiyuv kares.
Right.
If an adult knows that he did not have a bris milah and he chooses to remain the rest of his life without a bris milah and he dies without a bris milah, in the next world he's in trouble. There's a possibility that there's chiyuv kares for not performing a bris milah on himself, choosing not to perform a bris milah, so he's chiyuv kares. And then the Gemara talks about that the first time, also furthermore, the reason why these two are combined together is because you're not allowed to bring a Karm Pesach until you take care of their obligation to do a bris milah to your children and to your slaves. And then suddenly he's posed with a problem, a dilemma. He's informed that there's a mace mitzvah. There's a person on the road. No one is available to take care of the burial. But if he will contaminate himself for this person, he will no longer be able to bring a Karm Pesach. What should he do? So the Gemara brings the pasuk v'la'choisa. It's an extra word. This is the Daf Gemara. This is yesterday and today's Daf. Top of today's Daf. Yeah.
Which is a concept of Pesach Sheni.
Oh, very good. I'm going to come to that in a moment. Excellent.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to come to that. But still in all, Pesach Sheni is only a backup. It's not the Ikar. It's not the Ikar. And bringing the Karban Pesach is a Chiyuv Karis. And doing the Bris Milah in order to be able to bring the Karban Pesach is a Chiyuv Karis. And now there's a Neis Mitzvah. So you would think, if not for the Pasuk, that it's more important to do the Bris Milah and to bring the Karban Pesach. That's your primary obligation. And then when you finish, you'll come back and bury the dead. So the dead will be bezoyin for a few more minutes, for another day, whatever it is. So the world won't come to an end, but you have an obligation. There are certain priorities. That's what we would think should be. Along comes a pasuk, that's an extra word. We're not going to go through the details of the drasha now, but we have an extra word which tells us, no, you're making a mistake, you don't do that. The mace mitzvah comes first. And therefore, too bad for the Karban Pesach, too bad for the bris milah, those will have to be delivered. delayed, or it could be the delay. It could be you won't do it all together. Whatever the situation is, whatever. Okay, then the Gemara then asks a very critical question. The Gemara's question is: if that's the case, v'ligmar mino. Let's learn from here l'chol hatarukula that any time you have a mitzvah, let me tell you the words of v'ligmar mino. Let's learn from there that any time you have a positive mitzvah, you should have the right to ignore v'ligmar mino. So what exactly is the most question of v'ligmar mino? Let's learn from there that any time you're presented with a positive mitzvah, you should do the mitzvah and ignore another mitzvah. Okay, well, let's just go through the Gemara and then we'll see. The Gemara answers no. Shev yaltase shani. You can't learn from there because this case is unique. What's the unique nature of a mace mitzvah and Karban Pesach? You're not uprooting the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. Let me take a step back. The Gemara's question is, let's go to the case of Kilayim. Person is wants to wear shatnez, and by wearing shatnez, you're doing it, and you don't want it to be embarrassed. That's the Gemara's question. There's busha. So the question is why? Just like when it comes to not preventing a person from embarrassment is a mitzvah saseh, is a very important mitzvah. Preventing a person from receiving embarrassment is a very important mitzvah. Wearing klayim is a very big avera. Here we have an example of we were giving covered lemeis at the expense of not doing a mitzvah. We have a dead body. A dead body is in need of honor, and it's in need of burial, but the expense of giving honor to the dead body is a person will not be able to be mekayim the mitzvah of Karban Pesach and Bris Milah. What does the Torah tell us? It's more important to give honor to the mace over the violating the mitzvah of Pesach and Mila. So the Gemara's question is, if that's the case, if a person is in the street is wearing shatnez and he's an honorable person, and if you're going to tell him to take off the garment, you're going to embarrass him. So we should say the same exact thing. It's much more important to give honor to the person than to care about the avera of not doing the mitzvah, of violating the mitzvah of shatnez. So the Gemara says the fundamental difference between the case of Pesach and Meis Mitzvah over the case of shatnez and honor to a person. What's the answer? Shev v'ligmar mino. Those are the Gemara's question. Let's learn the case of shatnez from the case of Karban Pesach and Mila. The Gemara, shev al tase shani. Okay, those are critical words. And that means, according to Rashi, let's do one thing at a time. There are four different ways to explain the words of this Gemara, which have big nafkaminis lahalacha. The first way is Rashi. The case of Karban Pesach, am I deliberately violating the law of Karban Pesach? Absolutely not. I didn't go and destroy every person's Karban Pesach in the world. It's just that I today sat back and did not offer a Karban Pesach. You cannot compare that to the case of shatnez. Shatnez, a person put the garment on his body. Putting the garment on the body is an active mitzvah. Kumbiyase, a person got up and he did something. The only time we apply the rule of honor is more important than the violation of another mitzvah is only where the violation of another mitzvah is done passively. I'm going to give honor to the dead at the expense of not offering a Korban Pesach. I didn't do something to violate the Korban Pesach. I just did not bring the Korban Pesach. Whereas Shatnez, by giving honor to a person and telling him, oh, you're a good person, I'm causing him to actively violate a mitzvah of dressing himself in shanes, taking the clothing and putting the clothing upon your body is an active mitzvah of avir. This is the approach of Rashi. Okay, so this is the first mahalach. Now we're running out of time. We'll come back. We have time. We'll come back. I want to just bring out layout these thoughts. Maybe what I'm saying will answer your question. So we'll come back in a moment. Tosfos does not like this answer. Because Tosfos says, the end of this Tosfos, bottom of this Tosfos, he says, Vim Tam, he talks about Nazir. Rashi says that this is Veloini here. Dim Kim Komokam, Ramino Shashay, Dechalisa, say, Liquid Shevi Altase. He goes through a whole discussion, not to deal, but the end is he says, the reason why this is different is because it's not a mitzvah. Tosfos' answer is it's not shove lakol. So how does that fit into the case of Shegal Tazim Tab and Nazir Bekoin Godel Kumbia Sehu, a Nazir and a Koin Godel Kumbia Sehu, and we need to the Yitma. So so this person here is a Kohen Gadol. The part of the case here is a Kohen Gadol. The basic answer Tosfos gives is that Tumah is not a mitzvah that is equal to all people. It's only unique to a certain group of people. The laws of coming in contact with the dead contamination is limited. Anything which is limited cannot serve as a source to a mitzvah that is universal. That's the basic issue. So when it comes to Kalayim is a mitzvah that is universal, applies to every single person in the world. Whereas the laws of Tumah, Vitara, are not things which are universal. There's nothing technically wrong with coming in contact with the dead. So when you're doing this thing of coming in contact with the dead, you're not really doing anything wrong. You have one mitzvah. There are two mitzvahs. The only reason why this Gemara was an issue was because the Gemara, I didn't bring out this point, is you're dealing here with a person who is a Kohen Gadol. And a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to contaminate himself to the dead. If it was a regular person, it goes without saying, I didn't bring out that point. If it was a regular person, he comes in contact with the dead, and he has another option, bring a Korban Pesach, it's a given the person should contaminate himself to the dead, because there's nothing wrong contaminating yourself to the dead. And in fact, you're doing a mitzvah. Oisik b'mitzvah, potam in a mitzvah. The case that we're dealing with over here is a person that when he contaminates himself to the dead, he's doing an avera, because he is a Kohen Gadol. And a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to contaminate himself to the dead. That's the violation. So the Tosfos says, the reason why this cannot serve as a source for the case of Kalayim and giving honor to a person, is because it's not shove about call. Contaminating himself to the dead is unique only to a select group of people of Kohanim, but a regular person does not have a prohibition of contamination. Therefore, it's a weak type of sin. Cannot be learned from a severe type of sin of Kalayim, which is heavy duty sin, because that sin applies across the board to all people. That is the way Tosfos answers this question. Now, we'll review in a moment. The other answer given, this is an incredible answer, this is the most somehow Wolam Shan the Rambam, this is what you said before, is that over here it's not a clear violation because you have an option, Pesach Sheni. Since here you have another chance to do the mitzvah, that's not relevant to the case of Kilayim, where it's a clear violation with no other chance. It's an immediate sin, and once you wear the Kilayim, you're stuck forever. You have done the other, it's a permanent stain on your neshama. If you don't bring the Korban Pesach Rishon, there's still hope. You can bring Pesach Sheni. So you can't compare the case of Pesach to the case of Kalayim. A third answer, which is a very interesting answer, which some also want to show in the Rambam, is so this the Daf al Daf. It brings down from different people. Is that when the Gemara gives the answer over here, by the case of the Kohen, that's a loisase. You cannot compare that's an assay. Bringing a carbon Pesach is a assay, a positive mitzvah. The only time a person is allowed to do an avera, and the expense of doing one mitzvah at the expense of not doing another mitzvah is where the one that's going to suffer, the mitzvah that's going to suffer, is a positive mitzvah. But where the avera that's going to suffer is a negative mitzvah, for example, shatnez, that's different. In other words, by the case of shatnez, what's the issue? I want to give kavod, I want to give honor. But if I give honor, there's going to be a trade-off. There's going to be a price to pay. What's the price to pay? A sin will have been committed. What's the sin? Shatnez, negative. Oh, negative. Negative is very, very severe. That you can't do. You can't go do one mitzvah at the expense of another mitzvah when the one that's going to pay the price is a negative mitzvah. The only thing that we can learn from the case of a person who is a Kohen Gadol and he's going to do one aveir, he's going to contaminate himself to the dead at the expense of another mitzvah, that's where the mitzvah that he's violating is a positive mitzvah. The violation of a positive mitzvah is considered lightweight relative to the violation of a negative mitzvah. So Sach HaKol, let me review now, because by the way, we've looked in the Gemara carefully where it says over here, Shevi Al Tasa Adif, that's a good, you look on the side of the Gemara, not everyone is goyreis that in the Gemara. The Gemara says, let's learn out Ligma Mina, let's learn out Mina, and the Gemara says, Shevi Al Tase Shani. Not everyone is goyreis this in the Gemara, this question and answer that we should learn out from Lachoisa. That's only in some prints. It appears the Rambam did not have this answer in the Gemara, Shevi Al Tase. Rashi clearly had it. Tosfos appears also to have had it, but the Rambam did not have it. So that's why, in to review, we have four different ways to understand the Gemara, which obviously have made nothing distributed. What was the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question, we have over here a person. He's a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to contaminate himself to the dead. And here the Torah tells us, Kohen, go right ahead, contaminate yourself. I have a pasuk, and the pasuk is telling us, do the avera, contaminate yourself to the dead, to do this mitzvah, even though it's going to come at the expense of another mitzvah. You're not going to be able to bring the Karban Pesach, you're not going to be able to do a bris milah. So what was the Gemara's question? Why can this serve as a model for the L'chol HaTorah Kula, specifically in another example, where you should do a mitzvah of giving honor to a person at the expense of violating the mitzvah of shatnez, of the avera, or just like you're not going to bring the Karban Pesach, you're not going to be able to become the mitzvah of shatnez. Four answers why we can learn from the case of the Kohen Gadol contaminating himself to the dead to the case of shatnez. Rashi's answer, Shevi Al Tase. When you're not mekayim the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, you're not actively violating the mitzvah. You're passively violating the mitzvah. You're just not bringing the Karban Pesach. Any time you'll come into a situation in the Torah where the way you're going to violate a mitzvah is by being passive, whether it's a positive mitzvah, whether it's a negative mitzvah, it won't make a difference. You will always... What? It's passive. Passive.
Is it a loisase?
Karban Pesach, no, there's no loisase. It's only an assay. It's only an assay. It's a karban, it's an assay. So according to Rashi's approach, the only thing which counts is Shev, he's goyreis this in the Gemara, Shev, Yal Tasa, Adif, anything which is passive, automatically you're allowed to look at the bigger picture. You're allowed to pick and choose. I have a need to mekayim a certain mitzvah, to give cover to a person, or to do another thing, which is very, very important, even though it's going to come at the expense, as long as the one that's going to pay the price is not going to be le'oiker biyodayim, it's going to be passive, is mutter, regardless, the nafka mina, of whether it's a positive mitzvah or a negative mitzvah, it can be done. According to Tosfos, no such thing. Never. Tosfos appears to be the most machmer. Tosfos says the only time you can play around and you can pick and choose choose over one over the other, it doesn't make a difference whether it's passive, it doesn't make a difference whether it's active, it doesn't make a difference whether it's a mitzaseh, whether it's a mitzaseh, you have to weigh the avera. If one avera is a lightweight avera, because it's ain't a shavah b'kol, it's something which is, it says, it only applies to Yenechnam, you have to figure out, it only applies to a very small group of people, for the case of contamination. Contamination, it's not such a terrible avera. It's because it's only unique to a very small group of people, only Kohanim. It's not such a regular Yisrael without any question, he's not doing that. Of course he has to take care of the Meis Mitzvah, because that's what he's supposed to do. He's not doing an avera. He's not mechuyev to think about the Korban Pesach. But a kohen can't do that. A kohen is going to do one mitzvah at the expense of contamination. You can contaminate because it's a lightweight. A lightweight avera can. So that's the only exception. But when it comes to the case of shatnes, and it comes to the case of kavod, there you're dealing with heavyweight mitzvahs, because each mitzvah there is equal to shavu l'chol. Then one mitzvah does not have precedence, have preference over another mitzvah. They're all going to be the same. And then we come to the two of them halachim, the two different ways to Lim Shan Ram. Ram obviously did not have the skirsa from the words of the Ramam, he did not have the skirsa of the Shevi Al Taseh. And the two approach to Ram is either number one is this mitzvah is not such a terrible avera because you have a second chance. Second chance, you're giving the Korban Pesach Sheni. So you're doing an avera, even though you're doing an avera, but it's not coming at the expense of doing another mitzvah because the other mitzvah can be done at a later point in time. Yeah? Meal, so in Echanam, you have to.
Point is, that says that it's not the same.
So you have to say the case of Mila here is a Mila, they struggle with that. It's a Mila in order to do it, it's all part of the Korban Pesach. Because you're not allowed to bring the Korban Pesach until you do the Bris Mila. We're not dealing with two separate things. But yeah, you have the.
That's on Sheet
Hodder. Yeah, Echanam. Sheet Echanam, yes. And the, okay, Echanam. And then the other answer, again, the other very beautiful answer is that the difference between an asay and a loisas. It's a very fascinating idea between these two. Okay,
not the same as the first.
No. That's what I pointed out. The first, it's passive. So if you'll have a loisaseh, that's passive, it's mutter. Yeah.
So
a passive loisaseh, luch lo suchal his alim. You're going a shavas aveda. Ashavas aveda. Yeah, that's going to be an exception. That's another layer of this pilpul, which I don't want to get into. But you'll have a loisaseh that's passive. Example, okay, you want example, we'll say it. Ashavas aveda, you walk on the street, and it's not lefi kvoidai. I'm a big Rosh Hashiva.
I understand that.
Depends what it is.
So
you're not allowed to make believe you don't see the aved, the object.
Right. So if you do make believe, then
you're violating a loisaseh.
Not a zaki lefi kvod or whatever.
You're violating a loisaseh.
Exactly.
So here I'm going to violate the loisaseh passively.
You're over.
I'm violating. I'm not doing anything. How am I violating the loisaseh? I see in front of me a lost object. I see a diamond ring.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pick it up. By me not picking it up, I'm violating a loisaseh. The Torah told me, lo sucha lehisalim. Don't do this. I'm going to do it. But how am I doing it? How am I violating it?
By.
Oh, so you're asking the question. That's a steer to what we just said. This is very big. This is a tremendous chiddush. Because now the problem over here is, didn't we just say now, according to the approach of the Rambam, that whenever you're dealing, according to the if it's a loisaseh, you're mechuyev to do the, you're mechuyev to take care of the loisaseh. There's no exception. The only time you're allowed to violate an avera for one over the other is only when the violation is for an assay, according to that approach. If the approach is we mechabit an assay, let's say, if it's for the purpose of an assay, then you can violate. If it's for the purpose of an assay, then you're not allowed to. But everyone agrees, it's a perushu gemara, that you are allowed to violate a lois assay in order to be mekayim the assay of kavod. When it comes to kavod abrios, you're allowed to take care of your own honor at the expense of of Hashavas Aveda, if it's not Lefi Kvodo. But didn't we say that one of the four approaches is that if it's a Lois Aseh, there's never an exception? The only time we have the exception when it's in the violation of an Aseh, but Lois Sucha Lesalim is a Lois Aseh. So you have to answer. This is how it's answered in the Daf Aladaf. It moves down from one of the big Rashivas. He answers is that the Verbi Chedish, there's a difference between a Lois Aseh of Momon and a Lois Aseh of Isser. The only time this rule is true, that there's a difference between asay and alois asay, it's when it's isser, things which are prohibitions. But when we're dealing with momonis, matters of money, which is a din of hefker, bezin hefker, then you're even allowed to violate alois asay passively. Or even if not passively, you want to violate alois asay. I maybe you have to take that in consideration. With it gets very complicated. But the main point I want to bring out is just there are four. It's four ideas. It's a very beautiful idea. It's a sugi all over Shas. Sometimes you have to juggle. It's not a perfect world. There are conflicts in life. You have to juggle. You've got to juggle one avera, one mitzvah against another mitzvah, and you go. No one's going to be happy. How do you juggle the four? Four different ways to look at juggling mitzvos and averos. Aseh versus lois aseh, passive versus active. One avera is not such a heavy duty avera. It's limited to a small group of people. Or the fourth approach is, it's not such a terrible thing. You'll be able to do the other mitzvah at a later point in time in life. It's not a loss forever. There's a Pesach Sheni. You'll have an opportunity later on. Four different stars come into play to juggle conflicts in life.
My best mitzvah. I cannot take an approach where someone else will come along.
No. Because the Meiski component, every moment is bizarre.
The first thing you have to do is the Meiski.
Yes.
And the second thing is the Bris. And the third thing is Pesach, because there's a Pesach Shein.
Right. Correct. 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 Okay, we'll stop here.